Today we are going to study about Joseph. I'm sure that you have known about him very much, and Joseph is not a stranger to, I guess, he's not a stranger to any one of us. So we know about him, and we have read about him from the scriptures and from a lot of other books, I think. And we are coming to the chapter talking about Joseph finally. Of course, Joseph's story takes, in fact, quite a number of pages in the Bible, which is a rare honor given to only a few number of people in the scriptures. Joseph's physical and spiritual life was very dramatic, and there are lots of things we may need to learn from him. He was a very unique person, and he was a wonderful man of God. He was unique in many ways, though not all of his uniqueness was originated from himself. In a sense, he was molded to be unique, rather than he was very unique since the time of birth. That's why he was able to be used by God. He was given into certain circumstances, and he had to live within them. However, the way he lived was not fatalistic, even though he was thrown into certain circumstances. It was not his planning. He did not design his life in such a way that he had to suffer with a lot of things, but he was thrown into certain conditions of living and state of living and circumstances. However, he was never a fatalistic person, though he did not have control over many things in his own life. Instead, he lived by faith. He lived in two blended cultures. He was a Hebrew, but he lived as an Egyptian. He was a man of God and feared the Lord, but lived in the land of idolatry. Joseph was a man of Rachel, and his father Jacob adored him. After all, he was the firstborn from his favorite wife, Rachel. Jacob did not hesitate to show his favoritism by showering him with special treatments. His brothers were very jealous because of that, and all the more, Joseph often told his father about his brothers' faults and their wrongs, which caused them to hate him even more. When we talk about Joseph, we cannot but talk about his birth story first. As you know, Jacob had four wives, from whom he had 12 sons. However, Rachel was not able to bear a child for a very long time. It is very peculiar kind of phenomenon. We can find that in the biblical history, quite a number of important individuals were not able to have a child for a very long time. It was a very difficult time for all of them, especially it was a very tough time for Rachel. It was also a challenging time for Jacob, because sometimes Rachel seemed to have acted as if it was all Jacob's fault. So Genesis chapter 30 verse 1 says, "And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die." So out of desperation, sometimes I think Rachel's behavior was not normal. The barrenness brought her to despair and sorrows, and also it brought conflicts and confrontations within the family. So Genesis chapter 30 verse 2, having heard what Rachel had to speak to him, Jacob said this, "And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?" Rachel had done every suggestive ideas to have a child. She even negotiated with her sister Leah to have Jacob for a night in order to have a child. However, whatever means she was able to hand on, and whatever means she was able to use, she was not able to have a child. In God's divine mystery and also wisdom, somehow her conception was very much delayed. But finally, she was able to be pregnant. I do not claim for any knowledge or wisdom to know how God's mystery work really works. I do not know. I simply do not know. And Genesis chapter 30, verse 22 says, "And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb." This verse is written for our better understanding of God's work. There is no time God does not know Rachel. I think there is no time God does not remember His children. And God obviously must have heard all of her prayers before, but somehow God did not act in an earlier time. The remembrance of God for Rachel must be related to the timing of His answer to His prayers. In His time, Rachel was conceived. And also, this conception is expressed as an answer to her prayers. God hearkened to her, and the scripture says God opened her womb. It was a great relief to her, according to verse 23 in Genesis chapter 30. Verse 23 says, "And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach." In a sense, to her mind, bearing a child was more than a delight, but a relief or deliverance from disgrace. And verse 24, Genesis chapter 30, says, "And she called his name," the child's name, "Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son." And the meaning of Joseph is, "He will add." That's the literal meaning of Joseph. We may understand how much he was loved and adored by his parents. After all, he was the first child to Rachel, and Rachel happened to be the most favorite wife for Jacob, and Jacob loved him, and Rachel loved him so dearly. To the contrast to this background, interestingly enough, even though he was adored by his parents, and he had such a wonderful birth background, but his life was full of adversities and toils. Despite such a good kind of conditions for him to grow, loving parents, and he was deeply loved and so on. However, he had to suffer with so many adversities and afflictions in his life. He was hated in the family, and he was betrayed by his own brothers and became a slave in a foreign country. Despite all these things, he had kept human dignity, and he kept his constant faith and trust in God. He was tempted by his boss's wife, but he did not yield to the temptations. In prison, he freely talked about God and the interpretation of dreams given by the Lord. Interpretations of dreams were given to Joseph in prison. Even before Pharaoh, Joseph did not hesitate to mention of God, according to chapter 41, verses 25 to 36. When he named his sons' names, he also remembered God. When he explained the events in his life, he understood those events in the light of the providence of God. He even understood the history with the work of God. God rewarded him through his elevations and in the Egyptian society. In Potiphar's house, he was an overseer of the house. In the prison, he was carrying out supervisory responsibilities, and in the Pharaoh's court, he became the most powerful man right next to the Pharaoh himself. In the meanwhile, he used his position and influence to relocate his family to Egypt, to Goshen. So today we are going to study about Joseph as a man of God. First of all, let me begin to talk about Joseph and the circumstances of life. Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. He was a son of Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel, and we should know of Jacob. He was a supplanter of his father's birthright, as we studied last week. He deceived his brother and father. His mother, Rebecca, conspired with him to get him to receive the blessings from his father, Isaac. Somehow, Jacob was his mother's child. Despite all his human flaws and imperfections, some problems and so on, amazingly, in divine providence, God loved Jacob. Though it is easy to say that God loved him, but we can never overestimate this statement, because it carries a profound meaning. God loved Jacob despite his shortcomings despite his weaknesses and problems. God chose him to be one of the patriarchs of Israel even before he was born. And God gave Jacob 12 sons who became the founders of the 12 tribes of Israel. In the Old Testament, God is often called as the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. This Jacob, this particular Jacob, loved Joseph very much, in particular out of his all 12, out of 12 sons. In fact, by the time he was born, out of 11 sons, he loved Joseph the most. We may assume that Joseph's life was secured for unchallenged life through this sort of lineage, this sort of background. However, Joseph's life was not an easy one, but rather like a roller coaster with many dips and valleys. He was born to a man of God who happened to be rich and very wealthy. He had many older brothers who could have been his protectors and his supporters. And he was loved by his mother, obviously. And his outward circumstances were very, very good. In other words, he was born to a very good environment and very good circumstances. And he was born into a very good family, wealthy and rich family, after all. He did not seem to have anything to worry about. But all these blessed circumstances did not prevent him from having cares and the problems of life. Often his problems were unexplainable and very unreasonable ones to the human mind. Let me examine his problems one by one. And also, his problems were beyond his control. So that's why we cannot but have pity on him, in a sense. So let me talk about his problems. First of all, the Bible says that Jacob's love of Joseph almost cost his life. It sounds very strange and it sounds very unnatural. Rachel died when Joseph was young. Since then, Joseph was both his father and mother. What is wrong with the love that a father had for his son? Joseph was a reminder to Jacob of his late beloved wife, Rachel. According to Genesis chapter 37 verse 4, the verse says this: "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Joseph had 10 brothers born from different mothers, and they were all jealous of him. Joseph did not demand his father to love him only. Joseph did not say that, Father, you must love me far more than any other brothers I have, and so on. He did not demand a father's love. They were but jealous of the father's love. Jacob was not manipulated by Joseph. Of course, any favoritism for one child over other children was not wise for Jacob's family. But Joseph did not demand his father's love. And Joseph did not demand his father to ignore other brothers. But it was father's choice to love Jacob than other sons. Joseph was born in Jacob's old age, and Joseph's mother died when he was very young. Jacob must have compassion and pity on this little child, the little boy. Love is something that cannot be forced. And Jacob was not forced to love Joseph more than other children. It must come from his own heart. Jacob could not stop loving him more than other sons. He gave Joseph different colored clothes. If there was one thing that he did not know, was that his love nearly took his favorite son's life. When his other sons had an opportunity to get rid of Joseph, they wanted to kill him. And what's the reason they hated Joseph? The reason was because their father loved him more than them. Well, it was a real irony that father's love was a disadvantage in this case to his most favorite son. So because of his father's love, Joseph almost lost his life. Secondly, the Bible says that the receiving of God's revelation nearly cost Joseph's life. Genesis 37 verse 5 says, And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. If you look at Genesis chapter 37, verse 8, the second part of the verse, it says this, they hated him yet the more for his dreams. We are talking about God's revelations through his dreams. Joseph in the Bible has been known as a man of vision or man of dreams. I've heard many messages about him before, and most messages challenge the audience that they must become people of visions, people of dreams like Joseph. Why Joseph is a great man of God? Oftentimes preachers say that because he had such a wonderful dream, wonderful visions. He was a man of vision. That's why his life was eventually successful. Some preachers even went even further to teach their congregations about the ways to incubate their dreams and visions and so on. Especially many charismatic preachers do honor Joseph for his visions and dreams. They are hoping and praying to have the same sort of visions Joseph had. However, there is a huge difference between these people and Joseph. Do you know that Joseph never asked the Lord to give him a dream? Joseph never prayed to God, God, please give me a vision. God, please give me a prophetic utterances through your divine revelation and so on. God, please give me some sort of a miraculous experience through dreams and so on. No, Joseph never asked for prophetic dreams to God at all. Yes, he dreamed dreams, which implied many prophetic meanings and messages. His dreams were even fulfilled wonderfully. And also, his early dreams indicated that he was going to be a great man for God and his honor. Probably, it is an attraction to many people who desire to be great. So let us have dreams and visions so that we can be great people just like Joseph. However, one thing we must remember is that the primary giver of his dreams was God himself. There was no contribution from the part of Joseph. It was not an answer to his prayer. He never begged God for some sort of dreams and visions. In fact, Joseph was a passive recipient. Whatever was given to him by the Lord, he simply received it. And God was the sole giver of his dreams. He did not have dreams because he asked for. In any rate, an interesting fact is that Joseph's brothers began to hate him more now than before because of those prophetic dreams that God had given to Joseph. Was it a blessing for Joseph to receive God's revelations and prophetic dreams and so on? Could God's gift to Joseph become a cause for his brother's hatred toward him? Is it really possible that God's intervention in someone's life can be a cause for many more troubles? The divine gift from God to Joseph nearly took his life by his envious brothers. Good gift, but the gift almost cost his life. The Bible says that the integrity of Joseph before God and man almost cost his life. Joseph's brother caught him and sold him to the Midianites, and they sold him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's. Joseph was a goodly and single person, and he did not have any immediate family members in the land. And so, in a sense, he had all the conditions to be tempted. He was a single person, and besides that, he did not have any family members in the land, so probably he was very lonely, and he did have a very good look. And his master's wife attempted to tempt him. One day, he happened to go into the house where there was no one around but his master's wife. She was persistent, and she even grabbed Joseph for lying down with him. However, Joseph was a man of integrity and honesty. And besides that, he was a man of faithfulness. He had a clean conscience before God. When she was trying to tempt him, Joseph spoke to the tempting lady like this, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Even though he was living in the land of idolatry, he lived as if God's presence was right before him. And so he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph left his garment that the lady took hold of and fled from her and ran away from her house. He was right and just, and he was a good man. He did what he must have done, and he honored God and his master. Joseph's impeccable character, however, invited unwelcome pain and suffering to his life. I'm sure that his integrity was well recognized by the people around him. For example, though his master Potiphar was very angry with the situation that his wife was accusing Joseph for attempted sexual advance, he did not execute him. Probably it was because he trusted in Joseph's character more than his wife's words. Jailers trusted Joseph enough to put him in charge of prison affairs. However, what was the reward for his honesty? What was the reward for his integrity? What was the reward for his faithfulness to his God and to his master? He was falsely accused and put into a jail. If our honesty causes us to pay so dearly, then we may say, who wants to be honest amongst us? If our sincerity before God costs us so dearly, who amongst us still praise the Lord? Joseph became a prisoner as a result of honoring God. He was in jail for a few years, and that was real irony in life. He tasted all kinds of bitterness through adversities. However, he was not a man of despair, even though everything seemed to go against his wishes and against his sincerity. He was not a man of despair. Instead, he was in fact a conqueror. He walked in the higher planes of God by faith, and his life was full of grace. Thus, a graceful life does not mean a calm and still life without any suffering, pain, trouble, any oppositions. So, Joseph's circumstances were very strange. Very strange against every possible imaginations we can have. Then in those circumstances, Joseph lived by faith. One consistent characteristic we can find from Joseph is faith, his faith in God. Joseph believed in God's sovereign rule. God was the one who called Joseph through his dreams. God implanted unforgettable revelations about his future in his dreams. Later, when his brothers came and asked for his mercy, Joseph was able to remember all his dreams in the past, and he was able to see the sovereign hands of God in his life. In the beginning, he could have complained about his mischiefs and blamed God for his cruel treatments and cruel hands. Joseph suffered very much, apparently, without significant apparent reasons such as his sins or crimes. Bible tells us about his suffering, but Bible does not tell us about his sins or offenses or crimes which deserve to bring such calamities upon his life. His father's love, the divine revelation from God, and his integrity and honor caused him to be a victim of sufferings. However, we cannot find his complaints against God anywhere in the scriptures in times of troubles. He never even mentioned God's name with any sort of accusations. He never even questioned God. Why, God, I am in this situation? All things that I have been trying to do was to, were to honor you, glorify you. I want you to be honest. I want you to be faithful and so on. But only things that I have been experiencing are those things of suffering and pain and troubles and so on. But he never accused God for his calamities. It becomes very clear that Joseph had a different view of life and God's sovereign providence. When he met his brother, he spoke to them in verse 45, chapter 45, verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved. When these brothers found out that actually the top man in Egypt was after all their brother whom they sold to be a slave, they were concerned, obviously. They thought that their brother Joseph was going to retaliate to them, against them. And Joseph said, now therefore be not grieved. nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He again said in verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He saw the whole spectrum of his life and suffering from the eyes of God, from God's perspectives, God's providence. He saw every event in his life, including his brother's betrayer and selling him to the Midianites as a slave, in a broader context of God's providence. And that was the expression of his faith. Joseph believed in God's sovereign providence. In verse 8, chapter 45, he said, so now it was not you that sent me hither, even though brothers were the ones who sold him to be a slave. He said, it is not you who sent me here, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. I can see two contrasting but complementing truths of the providence of God in this particular context. One is that it is not Joseph's brothers, but God who sent him to Egypt. I think it will encourage all of us, because it teaches us that we are truly in the hands of God, regardless of our circumstances. Yes, Joseph had lost a number of years of happy days and happy times at home with his father and brother Benjamin. Yes, it was a tough life, as he mentioned in Genesis 41, verse 51. When his first child was born, do you know that he named his son as Manasseh? Joseph tells us the reason why he gave that name to his son in verse 51 in chapter 45. He says this, for God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. We must pay attention to the word toil here in verse 51. There is one more phrase that catches our eyes. That phrase is, all my father's house. How could he forget his father's house? Probably while he was living as a slave, every night, once in a while, or all the time he was thinking about his father's house. And probably he was thinking about his father. It was a place of coziness, and it was a place of love and affection, and it was a place of comfort and care. He was a loved son and brother, and suddenly he became a slave in a strange country, in a foreign land. I do not know how he was able to overcome all those grieving moments. Probably he was crying a lot. Probably he was weeping as well. Probably he prayed and prayed to God for a deliverance from his miseries. He probably cried and cried like a psalmist who wrote weeping psalms in the Bible. Joseph gave thanksgivings to God who enabled him to forget about his father's house when he named his own son. We can feel his pain. We almost can see tears in his eyes. Even while he was giving a name to his son, he remembered his father's house. Some of you had rough years in your past, possibly. And for example, probably it was not easy for brother, we had a man in Australia. And during the time of Pol Pot's atrocities, he and his family had to run away from the country. And as a little child, actually, eventually he lost his family. And later on, he somehow was able to be reunited to his family and so on. And when I was organizing a mission trip to Cambodia, he wanted to visit his former home country, Cambodia, again. And I think it was not easy for him to visit such a land of suffering and pain. I do not know all the events he and his family had to go through in Cambodia. I can see only a glimpse of hardships by
by having read a book, Killing Field and Living Field, there are so many heartbreaking stories after stories. And I was able to visit one particular museum in Phnom Penh, which was a place of torture during the time of Pol Pot's regime. And I was able to see a lot of skulls and blood stains still remaining in that particular place. Well, it was Joseph's desire to forget the happy moments at home, to overcome the present sufferings. It was because good memories in the past made his wounds more sore and miserable in the foreign land. Despite all these hardships, the thought of God kept him in sound mind. Otherwise, he could have gone mad. I have met many Christians who were angry with God. They could not understand the providence of God, and what they had been trying to do was right things according to the scriptures, and with clean conscience they had been trying to take right path of righteousness and so on, but their current situations and circumstances were so miserable and very difficult. Thus they could not understand and they became so desperate. To them, God is only a cruel person who gives them unnecessary hard times and difficulties. However, Joseph waited upon the Lord in times of troubles. How good it is to know that we are in the hands of God. My dear friends, you may have some challenges in your life. Well, all of us must believe in the providence of God. It is because all the child of God, every child of God, is in the hands of God, and God does not forget his own children. The other truth of the providence of God is that God prepared good things for Joseph. God made him a father to Pharaoh and the lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt, according to verse 8. However, the providence of God is more mysterious than that. God made Joseph be the preserver and deliverer of his brothers and their children. They hated him, but God made him a deliverer and protector for them. Joseph was an outcast by his brothers, but God made him their preserver. It is a beautiful picture of God's divine providence. Suffering at the moment appears to be a bitter experience, but as for those who are trusting in the Lord, there will be sweet fruits of suffering in the future. As we have been memorizing from Romans chapter 8, verse 18, as Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Through all his trying years, in Joseph's mind, there was only one person whom he looked up, and it was God. His faith sustained him in trying moments. He walked on the higher planes of God by faith during his painful years. And his God was his shelter and his refuge in solid rock. His God put him under his wings and led him all the way. His faith was only remarkable, but surely his God was even more greater, and he was good. Joseph's faith in God enabled him to become a man of grace. Lastly, we can think about Joseph's graciousness despite all his suffering years and hardships in his life. He was gracious even though he was a victim. Joseph was too weak to defend himself when he was sold by his brothers. He was dragged to go to Egypt, and more than 10 plus years he went through sufferings. Finally, the time came to see his brothers again, and they were cold blood people and betrayers of justice. Even there was no brotherly affection in their hearts toward Joseph. They were morally and ethically wrong, and they were not righteous people. They did not deserve Joseph's sympathies whatsoever. Among themselves, they talked about their evil deed against Joseph. In fact, in chapter 42, verse 21, this is their self-confession about their crimes against Joseph. In chapter 42, verse 21, "We are verily guilty." They pronounced their own guilt here. "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul." So by the time when they were discussing about selling him to the Midianites, they are saying, "We saw the anguish of his soul. When he besought us, and we would not hear, therefore is this distress come upon us." So we can see that little child Joseph was begging and crying and agonizing before his brothers for his life. We can draw a few pictures in our minds telling us what had happened on the day when Joseph was sold. He was terrified and he was begging his brothers to show mercy on him and, "Please do not kill me." That was his plea. "And please do not sell me to the Midianites." What a pity it is for Joseph to beg for mercy to his brothers to spare his life. Such cruelty could have made Joseph being determined to hate them. He had all the reasons to dislike them. He had all the reasons to take a vengeance on them. His slave days were gone over, and he was in a better position to revenge to his brothers. Finally, the days of revenge had arrived. He had both power and opportunities to revenge. His brothers came to Joseph without knowing who he was. Joseph was in full power to control the whole country of Egypt, and his brothers were under his jurisdiction. When he saw them, he could not refrain himself from weeping. So Genesis 42 verse 24 says, "And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again and communed with them, and took from them Simeon and bound him before their eyes." Before he disclosed himself to his brothers, actually, he disguised himself as an Egyptian, but inside of him he was crying. When he met his younger brother Benjamin, he could not control his emotion. So Genesis 43 verse 30 says, "And Joseph made haste." He saw Benjamin. He made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he wept loudly in chapter 45, verse 2. And he was weeping. And he was also a man of determination. He was a prime minister of the country. He was a married man with wife and children. He was a man of dignity. And obviously over the years, his character was strengthened, so he was able to face any kind of situations. But at this moment of time, he could not control his emotions anymore. Tears must have come down on his cheeks like streams of water. He let his brothers know who he was. They were stunned by this revelation. They were frightened. And hear the tenderness of Joseph. Joseph said, "Come near to me, I pray. I am Joseph, your brother." That is the words of a victim. He was a man of grace. And he was gracious, though he was the victor. Joseph pitied on them. He could not resist his love and mercy on them, and he had great compassion for his brothers. He told them, "Come near to me, and I am your brother." That was a very kind word spoken to them. He returned evil with good. His words were like honey in the honeycombs. There was no animosity in his words, in his expressions. He was gracious toward his brothers. He mentioned of his work in God's providence. He mentioned that he was sent to Egypt to preserve them and their children. It was his brothers who sold him to the strangers, but he interpreted it that it was God who sent him to Egypt. Selling and sending are only two different sides of one coin in the heart of Joseph. He was sold, but he said he was sent. His rough years and sufferings did not change him, and he was a gracious man. we often see endless arguments and fights for justice. Stronger ones are dominating the weaker ones. But Joseph did not use his power in terror, but in grace. He took up a responsibility to be the deliverer of his brothers and his children. Joseph was a man of suffering. In his youth, he was taken away from his home and father. And his own brothers betrayed him, and they sold him to be a slave in a foreign country. His father's love and his God's love for Joseph, in fact, caused him to be in troubles. It is not reasonable to suffer because of those reasons. What's wrong to be loved by father? What's wrong to be a chosen man of God to receive God's revelations? But all of those things became the real causes for him to be hated in divine providence. He was only a slave and falsely accused. His innocence was not defended, and he had to live with a dirty name as a sex offender of his master's wife. What a dirty name he had to carry in the prison. He had many days of tears, and he was hurt very deeply, but it was his faith that kept him straight, and he did not walk in the darkness, even though in the worst kind of circumstances, he walked in the light. His feet were on earth, but he walked in the higher ground of God. He was a gracious man. His words were loving, and his attitudes toward his brothers were caring. The reasons that he had to be hated were not reasonable ones at all. What's wrong to be loved by God and Father? What's wrong to be innocent and honest? Why did all good characteristics bring disasters to Joseph's life? Joseph could not understand, and I cannot understand, and oftentimes we cannot understand. However, there is one thing that he was very sure about in his life. It was God who sent him to Egypt. No, it was brothers' betrayer, their dishonesty, their wickedness, their guilt. That's why I am in the land of Egypt. No, that was not the way that Joseph was thinking about his evil circumstances. Even though he could not understand why he had to be in the foreign country, in the strange land as a slave, besides that he was falsely accused, he felt that the reason that he was in that strange land was because God sent him. He believed in God's providence, regardless of evil circumstances. I wonder whether sometimes you are complaining about your circumstances. You have been faithful unto God. You have been honest with God. You have been innocent in your dealings with people and so on. But somehow, all of your good intentions have been turned out to be evil things against you. And you feel, I'm down. Where is my God? God, why you are not helping me? Why my good natures are supposedly good characteristics are bringing all kinds of calamities and afflictions and evil trials against me? Well, Joseph was in that situation, but his conviction was that even though he could not understand everything, he believed that it was God who sent him to Egypt, who sent him to Potiphar's house, who sent him to the prison, after all, who sent him to the Pharaoh's court. The divine mystery worked in the hatred of his brothers, slavery, and false accusations. However, even those times when he could not understand the circumstances and the reasons why he had to suffer, he looked upon the Lord, and he was continuously gracious. And sometimes even, you know, professing Christians, when they are under afflictions and trials and suffering pain and so on, they become very bitter. I think it is a kind of trait that we may easily attain to. And we become very bitter. But one of the gracious things, great, I think, traits or characteristics that Joseph had was that despite his evil circumstances, he did not have any bitterness in his heart. That is a really rare characteristic we can hardly find from commoners' hearts. We can easily take bitterness in our hearts against certain circumstances and certain individuals who have been unfriendly to us, or who have been evil toward us. And however, Joseph was not a person like that. He was continuously gracious to his evil and wicked brothers who sold him to Egypt. He was a man of abundant grace. All things work for good for those who love the Lord. That must be the theme that he had in his life. I wonder whether some of you are facing some difficulties in life because of inexplicable reasons at the moment. But it is my hope and prayer that as Joseph lived by faith, even in times of evil circumstances, all of us look upon the Lord always, trust in the Lord, lay down all the bitternesses before God, and let us be gracious people, and let us live by faith. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.